14 out of 15. That's how many protein targets an AI agent found a working binder for, designed from scratch, synthesized in a robot lab, and physically measured. Not a simulation, not a benchmark, molecules that stuck. Welcome to AI in 15 for Friday, August 21st, 2026. I'm Kate, your host.
And I'm Marcus, your co-host.
Today, Claude designs proteins autonomously, and an independent wet lab checks the work. GitHub's postmortem on the 7-hour, 47-minute outage buries a number nobody expected. Pew measures the AI web, and a third of everything published since ChatGPT has fingerprints on it. A malicious Rust package runs code on your machine while you compile. Plus, Meta's trillion-dollar trial demands something nobody knows how to do, and Grok started speaking in tongues. Marcus, protein design. Why is this one different from every other AI does biology headline?
Because somebody made the molecules. Anthropic published a technical report Tuesday on using Claude as an autonomous agent for de novo protein binder design, designing new proteins from scratch that latch onto a chosen target. That's the front door of drug discovery. And the designs went to Adaptive Bio, an independent robotic wet lab, who synthesized them and measured binding with duplicate quality-controlled runs.
Give me the numbers.
1,320 sequences across 16 targets. 95% expressed, meaning they were actually manufacturable. 354 bound their target. That's a hit rate near 27% against a field norm of 10 to 15. On one target, TREM2, Claude hit 80%, where the best human in Adaptive's own design competition managed 38. And its strongest binder improved affinity roughly 50-fold over the human competition winner.
So, the model invented new biology.
No. And that's the part I want to be precise about. Claude used publicly available specialist protein models as tools. Those already existed and were already good. What Claude did was orchestrate, research the target, pick the tools, generate candidates, narrow them, rank them, and decide which ones were worth spending synthesis money on. 24 to 48-hour sessions, unsupervised.
That's the expert's job.
That is exactly the expert's job. The scarce thing in computational biology has never been the algorithms. It's the person who knows which tool to reach for and which of 10,000 candidates deserves the budget. If that judgment layer generalizes, the bottleneck moves from, do we have someone who can do this, to, how much lab throughput can we afford?
What would you push on?
Three things. A human wrote a 30,000 token opening prompt establishing the protocol. That's substantial scaffolding, and we don't know how much of the result it's carrying. The researchers pick the targets, and a binder that sticks in an assay is an enormous distance from a drug that works in a body. Also, Anthropic published the study, and Adaptive is a commercial partner. Replication by an unaffiliated lab is the thing to watch.
Fair, but you're not dismissing it.
Not remotely. The wet lab step is the check almost every AI for science announcement skips, and they didn't skip it. The other detail worth noting, Anthropic says protein design remains restricted in its most capable models while it builds safeguards. Which is the company saying out loud that autonomous agent that designs novel proteins is the precise capability profile biosecurity people have been writing about for a decade.
GitHub published its postmortem yesterday. We covered the outage Tuesday. What's new?
Duration and cause, and then a number that stopped the Hacker News thread cold. 7 hours, 47 minutes globally. Off, actions, APIs, pull requests, Copilot. Root cause was a critical infrastructure component in central US failing to scale under unprecedented traffic. Off failed, everything cascaded. CTO Vlad Fedorov was blunt. If you were trying to ship software that day, we let you down. and he was explicit that neither this incident nor the August 6th one came from a code change. Both were capacity failures.
And the number?
Monthly commits on GitHub went from 1.4 billion in April to 2.9 billion, a doubling in 4 months, alongside 130 million merged pull requests a month and over 115 million actions runs.
The world did not hire twice as many developers since April.
It did not. Agents are committing. This is the first hard, publicly disclosed figure on the infrastructure cost of the agentic coding boom from a company with no incentive to make its own load look frightening. They've thrown 3 million CPU cores and 120 petabytes at it, with 58% of platform load now on Azure.
What's the sharpest detail in there?
Recovery was actively prolonged by a client-side retry loop in Copilot services. The AI coding tooling hammered a degraded backend and made the outage last longer than it had to. That's a pattern that repeats everywhere agents talk to services, and most services haven't thought about it. Software that doesn't sleep also doesn't back off politely.
One commentator's line stuck with me. You can tell the entire industry is in a productivity panic.
And nobody in that thread could explain how a doubling of load turns into a doubling of revenue, given most of it sits inside flat-rate subscriptions.
Pew Research measured how much of the web is machine-written.
Nearly 500,000 English-language pages from Common Crawl, spanning about 5 years and starting before ChatGPT launched. In a random sample of the whole web, about 10% shows significant signs of AI authorship. Filter to pages published after November 2022, and it's over a third, around 35%.
And it's not evenly distributed.
Not at all. .com domains run roughly 10 times the rate of .edu or .gov, which both sit near 1%. .org lands between at 4.6. Pew also tracks stylistic tells, M dashes, Oxford commas, the it's not X, it's Y construction, all climbing.
Marcus, I use M dashes. Am I under suspicion?
Everyone who writes with M dashes is now under suspicion, Kate, and there's no appeals process. But the honest caveat matters here. Shows signs of AI authorship is not the same as slop. A large share of that 35% is a human drafting and a model tightening, closer to spell check than fabrication. Pew's own position is that individual page verdicts are unreliable. It's the direction and magnitude they trust.
What's the real worry?
2. The training data loop, the web, is the substrate models learn from, and it's now measurably full of model output, and nobody has a good account of what several generations of that does. And the domain split tells you where the incentive sits. Commercial pages exist to rank and convert. Institutional pages exist to be correct. Volume just got free, and the economics already rewarded volume.
Which pairs nicely with the top story on Hacker News yesterday.
A single-purpose site called Don't Paste the AI, Please. 1,000 points, 550 comments. The argument is that you're paid for your judgment, so communicate it. Pasting a model's response is like forwarding someone a search result and calling it an answer. The thread was better than the post. One commenter asked about lazy questions, not just lazy answers. Another said colleagues who used to send X broken with no context now send fully contextualized messages. And over-communication beats none.
And the best one?
A commenter noted the anti-AI essay itself reads as AI written, pointing at the line, read it all, yes, even the bullets, especially the bullets, which makes no sense, because bullets are the thing you read first. That's where we are. The tell is style. Style is imitable. Detection is vibes.
Security. Somebody compromised a popular Rust package.
The crate ArrayRef, plus related packages including Proc Macro 1, a typo squat on the very widely used Proc Macro 2. The attacker got the maintainer account and republished malicious versions, carrying a build script that downloads a payload at compile time. The Rust Security Response Team's timeline. First report at 0715 UTC yesterday. Bad versions up between 0715 and 0737. Removed between 0841 and 0925. Six versions live for 86 to 107 minutes.
Compile time. So you don't have to run the program.
You don't. Build scripts in Rust, execute arbitrary code on your machine during cargo build. Compiling is enough. The main technical demand in the thread was sandboxing for build scripts. An idea proposed before and never landed. There's also a fair complaint that the bad version simply vanished with no yank indication and no advisory. So downstream users can't tell whether they were exposed.
Is there an AI angle, or are we reaching?
There are two, and I'd state them carefully. Nobody has claimed this attack was AI-assisted. The structural one is that dependency trees are enormous. Any serious crate pulls in hundreds of transitive dependencies, each maintainer a target. One commenter said the probability that one of those authors gets successfully phished is just too high. And cheap, scaled, personalized social engineering pushes that up, not down.
And the second.
More immediate. Agentic coding tools install dependencies. When an agent adds a crate and runs a build time payload executes with whatever permissions that agent has. A 90-minute window matters much less against something pulling packages continuously and unattended, and you heard the GitHub numbers.
Meta's youth safety trial opened Tuesday in Oakland, and there's an AI demand inside it.
Consolidated action from 29 state attorneys general. Four states trying first. Meta's own filing discloses a maximum theoretical exposure of $1.4 trillion, roughly its entire market cap. The judge has already called that calculation unreasonable. And the state's lawyers have floated $200 billion as realistic.
And the AI part?
The states are demanding Meta delete AI models trained on data collected from children under 13. Not the data, the models.
Can you even do that?
That's the whole question, and it's why general counsels everywhere read this filing twice. Data deletion is solved. You cannot surgically remove one cohort's contribution from a set of trained weights. So compliance means discarding and retraining. The FTC has ordered algorithmic disgorgement a handful of times. Never near this scale, and never against a company with a reported $145 billion AI buildout riding on the systems.
And if a court grants it?
Every lab that trained on scraped data of uncertain provenance has a contingent liability measured in retraining runs rather than fines. The interesting question is purely mechanical. Will courts actually order it, and can anyone verify compliance?
Last one, and it's short. Grok started producing gibberish.
Yesterday morning, mostly the Grok light tier, strings of random English words forming no sentences. One user asked for a PDF and got back several paragraphs of word salad. TechCrunch couldn't reproduce it, so it hit a subset. XAI called it a rare temporary generation malfunction and said, start a new chat.
Small story. Why include it?
Because it's a clean reminder of how these things fail. A crashed web server tells you it crashed. A broken language model hands you confident nonsense. The version we saw here was obvious. Word salad, easy to spot. The version that worries me is a degradation subtle enough that the output still reads fine, sitting in an agent chain or an automated review where nobody looks at the intermediate steps.
It broke, and nobody noticed.
Becoming an operational category near you.
One to watch. OpenAI's public S-1. The confidential draft went to the SEC on June 8th, and reporting points at late August for the public filing to hit EDGAR. The moment it lands, the industry's central unknown becomes a matter of record. Audited numbers, compute commitments, the Microsoft arrangement, the risk factors.
Agreed. With one wrinkle. The OpenAI Foundation keeps board appointment control over the public entity, so shareholders would be buying a company they don't get to govern in the ordinary way. And note the timing pressure. That pitch is much easier to make on an upswing.
That's your AI in 15 for today. See you tomorrow.